Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the nighttime eating coaching call. We are doing live coaching tonight. So if you'd like to be coached tonight, all you have to do is raise your hand and I will bring you up on stage. Can you all hear me? Give me a thumbs up if you can. Yes. Success. I have the amazing coach Ashley with me tonight. She my ride or die today. Thank you so much, Coach Ashley. She's going to be with you in the chat, and she will also be taking a look at the Q&A to see if there's any questions in there that she can answer for you. But we are going to coach tonight about nighttime eating. To this month in the membership, we've had the monthly challenge of doing several strategies, trying to find our doable hunger. This week, we are closing the kitchen. How many of you guys are doing that this week? Give me a thumbs up. All right. I hope it's going good, right? It's very interesting to close the kitchen and discover, like, what's going on here? This is interesting. I mean, part of the strategy is trying to figure out, like, what thoughts come up, right, when I do this, and hopefully get on board to seeing what we can discover about what we're thinking. A little bit about me. I started on the No BS team as a community team member. I loved it so much, and I found coaching beneficial. I was a member in 2019 and then joined the team in 2020, just watching and learning all about thought work and all of that. I got really interested. And then I was invited to be on the coaching team and went through the Life Coach School, got certified there, also got certified with Corinne's amazing program of advanced certification for coaching. And now I am a No BS coach here on the coaching team. I have 30 private clients that I work with on a weekly basis with their goals, and we coach every week. It is amazing. It's a wonderful privilege and very exciting work. I'm also in Ask Coaches and in the Facebook group. You'll see me there too. So you'll notice that I always sign my name with the little flower because I'm reminding myself of my birthplace of Hawaii. I was born and raised in Hawaii with two Mexican parents. I always joke and I ask my dad, I'm like, you know, so many Mexicans, they go to California, like, why Hawaii? And he would always make me laugh because he'd be like, why not? If I'm going to go to the States, wouldn't I pick the best state? I'm like, I love you, Dad. Speaking of Dad, he passed away this past October. I will be having the opportunity to go back home and next week on vacation, Hawaii, and see my family members and see his headstone that I was not able to see because I, you know, came back here. So that's going to be a very special trip. My family and I are going. Speaking of that, when we think about doable hunger and listening to our hunger cues, I forgot to tell you this, Ashley, but I'm going to mention the Trusting Your Body course because it ties in so much, that mind-body connection. Yes, I went through Life Coach School. Yes, I've been learning all about thoughts, but that mind-body connection, it is amazing. I know that when I first heard about my dad's passing, and I told MJ, was the my boss, my jefe at the time, and I remember telling her about what had just happened. And she was like, okay, let's work out a plan. Are you going to go to see him? Are you going to go to the funeral? Let's talk about your clients and how we'll work that out. And my immediate response was, yeah, I, MJ, I, I think, I mean, I can still work. That's how I said it. And she said, girl, no, no, you go see your family. I so appreciate that. Cause I don't even think I understood. Now I understand, right? Like that whole mind body connection, I couldn't even speak. And I think, like, now that I think back, you know, when someone is grieving, that's why we bring food to them, right? Like you can barely even think or function. You don't realize that you can't, because your nervous system is just being overtaken with, you know, they call it grief brain fog. It overtakes everything. It's a type of stress, right? And so are we surprised that after a long stretch of day, if you have felt stress throughout your day, whether it's grief or a long stressful day at work, taking care of children, taking care of parents, and then we want relief and we don't understand, like, I get it. I'm supposed to listen to my hunger cues. I can do it all day. Why is this happening? Like, am I broken? Is it me? No, it's not you, right? We can learn to understand what's happening and understand the whole process of that mind-body connection. So tonight we're talking about nighttime eating. If you look at module 3, lesson 6 of the No BS weight loss course, you'll see a whole lesson on nighttime eating, what the usual triggers are that happen for nighttime eating. You can check it out there. And you can start to see, like, oh, okay, it ain't me. It's just normal. I get it. And it starts to make sense. I think it really starts to make sense. And you can work with it and you can understand it. So you don't have to fear yourself. You don't have to fear failure. You don't have to fear a lot of things. It just starts making more sense. But I would love to hear your story. I want to hear what you're working on. And let's see if we can work together and get some coaching. So let's do this. If you would like to get some coaching, raise your hand and let's chat. Let's do it. I see Nicola has her hand raised, and I'm going to promote you to panelist if Zoom will let me. Here we go. I'm going to ask you all, while Nicola comes up, to think about how this applies to you, right? You may not have the exact situation that Nicola is going through, but there's always something. Like, we're all getting coached. When one person gets coached, we all have the opportunity to get coached by seeing how it relates. Hello there. How are you?
Hello. I'm very excited. I don't normally get the opportunity to join live or get coached. So, because I'm in Australia, obviously. So it's great to be here.
Wonderful. Welcome. Nice to meet
you. Thank you. Thank
you. What would you like to get coached on? What would you like to chat about?
Look, nighttime eating is definitely my Achilles heel. It is something that I have done for a long time, and I can be really good all day. I'm nailing, you know, water. I get my sleep down. I'm planning, I'm stopping at enough, I'm only eating when I'm hungry up until lunchtime, and then dinner time comes around and I just fall into a heap. And so I find myself eating more than enough, snacking on things that aren't on my plan, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm really trying to focus on it, but I think I know why, but I just don't know how to stop doing it.
Okay. Why? If you know why.
I have a very busy job and I have an hour long commute when I get home. I live in the bush looking something like this. And so I think I'm just tired when I get home. I get home at 6:30 normally, And my husband and son are sort of sitting there excitedly waiting for me to come home and cook them dinner. So, you know, it feels like I just never stop. And I feel that I've got a bit of perfectionism about me. I've got a lot of childhood emotional trauma. And I think eating was always love. And so when I'm tired or feeling a little bit under the weather, stressed, whatever it may be, I reach for food to give me something that it can't give me. I know that here, but you know, in the irrational brain, it just doesn't register. It keeps trying to reach for food for some sort of comfort, I think.
I love that you made the difference of your rational mind, which is the intentional part of our mind. And then, like, you know, like, I see it, I know it, but our automatic brain takes over, yeah. Right? Like, yeah.
And I feel powerless against it, which is really uncomfortable because I think, you know, and I pass judgment on myself and I, you know, it's just a bit of a spiral. I kind of got a little hint
because you said I'm good all day and then I get home and then the parentheses, I like to say the parentheses. We didn't say it, but the parentheses thought in there is then I'm bad, right? Yeah. Like I'm good all day and then I get home and I'm bad. But
absolutely,
that's a good way. That's a good thing to look at, right? Like I am really judging myself. I'm saying that me doing all these things are good. And then when I get home and I give myself relief, now I'm bad. So do you see how that's a...
Yeah.
Lose situation because it's like, well, I want relief and I'm trying to get it here, but I deep down I'm bad. Because I'm meeting my need.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Like
I do.
Yeah. So I mean that's a good thing to look at. Like, okay, speech matters, right? Like how we describe things matters. How we think about it and tell ourselves that story really matters. So there's like little clues here and there, right? Like we don't have to say that we're good and that we're bad. We're doing what we intend. That's what we're doing. We're not good. That's not a moral judgment, but I am good. You know, that is a moral judgment that I'm putting on myself.
Yeah.
And the pressure of continuing that. I heard you say, you know, I get home and they're looking at me like, okay, your turn, you're on. Yeah. So there's that thought too, right? Like there must be a thought there too. Like, okay, hey guys, I'm tired. I want relaxation. And what are you thinking? Like when you see their expectant faces, what are you translating that?
I feel like I'm learning how to manage my thinking better as time moves on, particularly with this program. But I can guarantee you 6 months ago, before I started the program, my thinking would be resentment.
Right.
And you know, but I'd do it anyway and I would be in a bad mood and all of those things. Many years ago, my son's just about to turn 18, so he's more than able to look after himself, as is his father. You know, I'm not Martha Stewart. I don't come home and cook the most amazing meals. If it's not on the table in 20 minutes, I'm not doing it. And quite often I say to them, you can forage and find your own thing because you're big boys, you can handle it. And so that's how I deal with it practically, but certainly in the thinking for a while there was a lot of resentment about, well, guys, you know, you don't have to wait for me to just kind of rescue you. You need to learn how to have some life skills of your own. But these days I'm trying to be kind to myself and I'm not, because it's not their fault. You know, a lot of it is me conditioning, me teaching them that that's what I do, isn't it?
Correct. Yes.
So I've just become a lot more relaxed about what, there's no messaging there. You know, it's all what I'm interpreting in my head. Right. And yes. So I've eased off on the resentment. I've now become much more just, well, it is what it is. If I feel like cooking, I'll cook. If I don't, then there's plenty that they can find for themselves.
So what is it that you're needing? You know, you tell me that you come home, you have a very stressful day, you've been good all day, then you come home and they're looking at you and you're like, ooh, that's what I heard.
I think I feel like in terms of, so I've pushed away that whole I have to cook thing, which is good. But yes. what I need, I think, is comfort. And there's also a big part of it that's what I've always done. You know, I've got this connection in my head, this in my irrational brain, that food equals love, food equals comfort, right. Food equals things that it doesn't equal. Food is just food in my rational brain. But I was, you know, I think I learned as a child that the only way that I was ever treated as a member of the family that had a say, anything to say, was around the dinner table. And so that's a really strong food connection for me. And I think it's a lot of habit. Yes. So what I want to do is to be able to just come home, we all sit down at the dinner table and we eat either something I've cooked or something that they foraged for. And then I can go, I've eaten, I'm full, or I've had enough. And right. I don't need to reach for something to comfort me.
But then you do. Is that what you're saying?
I do. I'm constantly reaching for things. And then, yeah, I, you know, I've tried things like, oh, clean your teeth after dinner. Oh, go to bed early. Oh, do all these things. But I want to just stop this compulsion.
Correct. And I like that you're so onto yourself. We all have inner wisdom. I mean, we have to give ourselves the credit. You've done a lot of work. You have a lot of wisdom. We all do. Sometimes we discount it. But I do hear you saying, like, I've tried all these strategies, but you know the thought. The thought is, I want relief. This is what we do. This is the thing that I know. And so I think the next step for you would be, okay, I love how our minds try to convince us that it's like one or the other. Like I either eat and find comfort or don't eat. And then that's going to suck, right? Like those are my two choices. If I'm really tired, guess what I'm going to choose? So I think it's, and we hear it so much in the membership, that black and white thinking, like I am onto myself. There are not only two choices. There's probably more. If that is what I need, then I need to look at that thought and say, okay, I hear you. You need comfort. This is my habit. This is how I always do it. How else can I get that? Like, how else can I get that? And the voice that's louder, and I'll tell you because it's my experience, the voice is louder is, nothing's going to be as good as food, right? Like,
yes,
that's what we choose to believe. It's like, I always see in the membership posts and the members are like, guys, what do you guys do other than eating cookies? And so our very helpful members, right, are like, light a candle, you know, take a warm bath, take a walk. And I can almost see the original poster's eye roll. Like, oh God, that doesn't sound as good as a cookie, right? Like, and it's, you know, if I am with them and I'm like, well, have you tried any of those things? They're like, no. Because that voice is so loud. Like, nothing is going to be as good as a cookie. And we're believing that. So
And what I find is that the cookie's actually not that good.
Right.
And so I go back for more because I'm like, oh, well, I must need more because the first one didn't really do it for me. And there was somebody that posted in the Facebook yesterday, or it might be today your time, that said they planned for one of three desserts, but the first one wasn't very good. So they went for the second one. And I'm like, that's me, because it's not actually giving me what I need anyway. Correct.
Correct.
So, yeah, okay. So I need to find, rather than distraction, which is what I've been trying to do in go to bed early, scrolling Instagram endlessly, cleaning my teeth, I need to actually find something that is going to do it for me, don't I? A bath, a meditation.
And I think it's tackling the thought, right? Like, I want to show myself that there are, at first, the next step can be, I want to explore other ways. Like, there's not just one way to find relief. There can be other ways, but I'm really listening to the voice that tells me, no, there's only one way, because we've always done it this way. When the fact is, there could be other ways to find that comfort, you know, and it can start from the beginning. Like, it can start with how we identified self-talk, all those little words, right? Am I really being good and bad? Like, no, I'm just being human. Yeah. Is this really like, you know, throughout the day, am I pushing all day long to create stress that, so then at the end of the day, then I get my relief. Maybe I need to take breaks during the day, or at least show myself where I am getting breaks. Cause sometimes we forget that part of the story too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little, you know, we give ourselves clues. But then we are like, but we're just going to do this anyway, even though I can prove to myself, which I think why discovery worksheets are so powerful. You can write that out and remind yourself, like, you didn't even do it.
Yeah.
That's not even true. And if you write it, it's like that reinforcement of like, oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And right now I am really listening to that one voice that's telling me this is the answer. And maybe it's not. Maybe there's more. And if you look at lesson module 3, lesson 6, that is one of the you know, reasons the at the end of the day, you know, relying on that one moment for relief and then expecting that to be the solve. And then you notice, right? Like, it doesn't really solve it, even though I'm telling myself that I am.
Yeah.
So there's other ways. So really good work. Yeah. Like, so
That's really helpful.
Yeah. So what is your plan for this week? Like, how will you put that into action?
I am actually, because I'm a bit of an on and off journaler, and I am finding things like the discovery worksheets are really helpful for me to get into that practice. And I've been getting a little bit better. Here I go again. But I've been practicing my journaling a lot more consistently over the last couple of weeks. So what I'd like to try is to really examine, as you suggested, that thought.
Right.
When that sort of evening snacking temptation comes up, and rather than go straight to that, I'd like to spend some time journaling about it to really unpack it a little bit and remind myself, as you said, of those things that we were talking about where it doesn't really solve for what you need anyway. And I think that at the very least is going to put a little bit of space between the urge and the doing. So that's what I'm going to try. And I think I'll probably also listen to lesson 6 in module 3 again and do the worksheet again.
But
that's really been helpful.
Very good. Yeah. I'm excited for you. I think that's a good plan. And I think, you know, always listening to what our mind tells us, it's like, there's only one solution. It's not working. Right. And it's like, or this is the solution. Let's keep trying that, even though when we see evidence that it's not. So it's progress, right? Like, this is a process. And I'd love your commitment. I love that you have been working on different aspects and that you're finding success, because that's the way to do it. So cheering
for you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you.
You too. Bye-bye.
I'm gonna put you down. Bye. I think I am. Yes, I think I am. Uh-oh. No, I don't want to remove you. How do I put you down from panelists? Goodness gracious. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And now I'm going to invite Ellie up on stage. Guys, how many times do we hear in the membership, right? Like, our automatic brain can be such a liar. He's lies. It's like, why do we listen? Hey, Allie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Where are you calling from?
Northern Michigan.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Yeah. Yes. I'm a little nervous. This is like only like the second or third time I've been coached. It's happened before, but I wasn't planning on it tonight, but I saw what it was going to be about. And I felt like I could.
Well, look at you getting your needs met. That's amazing. We can take a deep breath together.
That's good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're here together. Tell me what is going on at night?
Well, I was kind of thinking about what I could talk about. I feel like it could go a lot of different ways. I've been working on my nighttime eating for a while now, and I just feel like I've never found, like, I go through periods where I do good. Well, you're just, I do better. And then I go through periods where just all the old habits come flooding back in. But one of the big things I've noticed, like a pattern or a trend in it, is like my phone and food. And I guess I just like to explore like the relationship between overeating at night and like being on technology, because I feel like eating at night sounds way less appealing to me if my face isn't like in my phone scrolling like Instagram reels or like on TikTok or whatever it may be. I feel like it's not as appealing. Like they're just, it's a very like coupled habit for me, and like one fuels the other.
Okay. So if you're on your phone scrolling, the habit is like, and even better is having snacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But if I'm not scrolling on my phone, like I can eat, like if I like to crochet. So that's one of the ways that I've been able to help nighttime eating is like I'll crochet. And usually I don't really like watch or listen to anything. It's kind of just like it's like reading for me at night. It's very calming, but then sometimes my wrists hurt and I don't want to do that. And so it's like, I don't have this other way. I feel like I can relax without my phone, but my phone makes me want to eat. Like if I'm in front of a screen, I like link that with eating.
Why do you?
And so I find it really hard to just like relax. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. What do you think that is?
I guess I have a hard time like not doing anything. Like just sitting there just seems like weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like I have to be doing something. Like my brain has to be like focused on something. And so the way I've kind of like went through my nighttime eating is trying to figure out like what I can be doing that. Like my brain can be focused on something, but I'm relaxing. And I guess I just don't have a ton of other outlets.
Yeah, that is so interesting. First of all, notice how you say relaxing, and what would I do if I was just sitting there? Like, wow, that's just so unappealing, right? Like,
you know, it's just, yeah, I just feel weird. Like, I don't know. Like, how often do we just sit there? Like, does anyone just like sit for like 20 minutes, just like staring at the wall? Like, I don't know. It just seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, the way you say it, yes. Does not sound relaxing at all.
Yeah,
is anybody else laughing? Like give me some emojis. This is kind of funny. I do love that. And it's great to just, you know, think about like, wow, how are we describing it, right? And I really like, I would love for you to explore that thought. Like I think it makes total sense if you're saying have to be doing something. I don't like just sitting there staring at the wall. Like again, our brain is giving us like two options, right? Like I'm either doing something or I'm sitting staring at the wall. Like, okay, what do I choose? So this is great. Like Why is it normal for you to think that you have to be doing something? Why, you know, and even the way you describe, like the way that I relax is I'm doing knitting. And then sometimes my wrist hurts because I do that so much. So then the other way that I relax is scrolling my phone and snacking, because yeah. Then the other option is just like, you know, I'm basically,
what do I do with myself?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could go to bed. Like that would probably be better. But sometimes I just like I have a 2-year-old. And so I want to do something that's like for myself at the end of the night that is relaxing. So I'll like clean up and do what I feel like I need to do. And then it's like my relaxed time. And so I'm just struggling like how to find relaxed time without food. Because it's just so closely related to like sitting and scrolling. Like I enjoy like turning my brain off and scrolling at night, but it just is so closely related with food that it's like every time I do that, I just have these really intense urges. But if I'm doing something different, like the urges are not as bad, but sometimes but I don't want to do those different
before
things.
Before that, like even before the thought behind the thought is like, why am I equating, you know, why do I have this thought that I really do just have to be doing something. That's what I was trying to highlight before, because it's like,
That's
what are
true.
You making it mean? You know, because the way that you describe relaxing is I'm still doing something. And then if I'm not, then it's really weird.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So like,
my grandma, like mm-hmm. I was raised by my grandma, and she could never not be doing something. And so I think some of it might like subconsciously kind of come from that. Like I witnessed her never being able to relax. And I watched her, like her kind of relaxation too was, you know, sitting in front of a screen with some food. So I can see that.
Yes,
for sure. That's definitely like,
why that
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's normal, but I'm like, how do I change it? Like how do I stop that? Like I don't want that to be my normal. And so then it's just like overwhelming for me to, I don't know, think about that.
Yeah,
me and having to learn mm-hmm. how to be still.
Again, you're giving yourself that the other option, like I don't know how I'm not going to be doing stuff, because how will I be still? Again, it's like we're either an iguana doing nothing, right? Or doing something and relaxing, which is like, now you see your definition of relaxing, right? And you can see why it's so normal that that's the way you define it. I love module 4 in the No BS weight loss course, where it's like, oh, this is so fun. I get to envision what I want. Mm-hmm. I get to build my future self. So this is some good work, you know, Allie. How exciting, you get to define what that means for you, right? So yes, I think that'll be really great work for you to, first of all, understand that your brain right now is giving you 2 options only. Again, we're seeing a trend here tonight, right? Like that black and white thinking. I'm going to offer you, we either do this or that. There's no other.
Yeah.
Solutions. And it's like, man, we live in a very big world. I bet there's other solutions, right, that we can present to ourselves. But so first of all is noticing that my brain constantly loves to give me 2 options, and I don't even like them, right? Because you're like, I don't want to scroll and eat, but then I don't want to sit and stare at the wall, right? So I don't like these choices. So the good news is it's a big world. And instead of it being overwhelming and scary, it's like, man, this is just an opportunity for me to find out like what else is possible. Like this is my time to really dig in and curate something that I love, right? Like I'm going to curate. So let's just play a little bit. Like, what do you think that would be? Like, what sounds great to you? Like, if I could And I, you know, I, and if I looked at
this, I feel like if I could, it would be like crocheting. But like I said, so I'm a massage therapist as well. So I use my hands a lot. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not practical for me to crochet every night. It's not practical. Like I'm a very like touch person.
Yeah.
I like, I guess I do. I like keeping my hands busy. Like, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a wrong thing, but I do find it relaxing. But yeah, it's just physically not like possible for me to do every single night. Like it can be like a couple nights a week, but.
And let's look at that. Why do you find that relaxing? Because if I think about crocheting, like that overwhelms me because I don't know how, right? And I'd be like, oh, this is not relaxing. I'm going to freak out, right? So
yeah,
that's a good clue. Like, what do you think when you are crocheting?
It's very like, I guess it seems like I'm doing something, but it's almost like I'm not doing something because I am like, it's very like meditative. Like I just am able to focus on one thing and it's like like my mind quiets, I guess. It's definitely more relaxing than scrolling my phone. Like that's for sure. It's like way less mentally stimulating. And I actually feel like it's like reading a book before bed, I feel like in that it calms, but I have like the hand element of it too. I guess I just like not looking at a screen and right. like, because it and does like being on my phone, being on my phone at night, like it's not only do I feel like I need to eat alongside of it, but it does keep me awake for longer from like having like a blue light in my face all night. And then from being up longer, I'm tired, and then I mistake that for being hungry. So I like the fact of like doing something that's not on my phone because I feel like I'm more inclined to like go to sleep.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. And I really see like, and I hope you see too, that mind body connection that you have tied in, right? Like, first of all, you're doing something and you're telling yourself like, I love this, you know, one focus. I love that I get to concentrate and it's very tactile. You know, there could be other things like drawing or sculpting or, you know, but notice that it's always going to be your thought about what you're doing that you define as relaxing. Because it is possible, right? That there could be a time where relaxing and just sitting could be a thought that you could possibly step towards
entertain
as like this is, you know. But if you're, I can see so much, and I hope when you listen again and watch this, you have clues. Like you're a massage therapist, you use your hands a lot, there must be something there that your mind and body connects with relaxation. And there could be other things. Like I love using meditation in the form of activating my five senses. Like you can even look into that, like some sort of meditation. That the primary meditation practice is understanding the moment, the now, because our brain is very trained to go backwards, like think about the past, or go forward, like think about everything I got to do. So the reason why people love to meditate is because you're practicing, you're training your brain the skill of being in the moment, like being here. If you've ever tried meditation, you know, you can focus on a word. A lot of times the word is om. So that you can stay in the present. So you don't go backwards, you don't go forwards. But if you've ever tried, it's a skill, right? Like you have to
practice. It's funny enough because like I do meditate. It's usually like in the morning, or like because I practice yoga and I do yoga as well. So it's so funny that I'm not able to turn my brain off because like this is what I do. Like I like take care of everybody all day long. Like whether that's like my family or my clients or my students, like I am teaching other people how to do this. But then at the end of the day, when it comes to like powering down, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I don't have enough time for myself. And so it's like, I need something to do for myself. It feels like it's like an unrest at the end of the day.
Yes.
Like I just need something to do.
In that lesson, it teaches you about you're one of the examples, right, of how we use adrenaline and cortisol all throughout the day, and that mm-hmm. takes time to process through our bodies, so that at the end yeah. of the day we're still basically
I think that's where my problem with like the phone is too, because like I really want to learn how to like not power down with my phone, because I can see that with myself playing out at night, where it's like I do have this adrenaline and cortisol that I know my body needs to empty, but it's like the phone keeps me like buzzing. Correct. And then that makes me want to eat, because it's like the food dampens the buzz. And Correct. So it is like I've practiced that for so long that I guess it is maybe just being a little bit uncomfortable in the beginning and learning how to like
yes
find and just, that slow down.
You know, I would love to hear what you would tell one of your clients or one of your students of yoga, like what would you tell them?
That's such a great question, because I feel like I'm so much better at telling other people than I am myself, because I'm not as gentle with myself. I guess just sit with that feeling of discomfort, because I know it's going to be like, it is uncomfortable to like be in your body and be in your mind, especially if you're not used to it. And I feel like in this context and setting, I'm not used to it, because I practiced like, doing. I haven't practiced doing it. And so I feel like I know that I have to be uncomfortable for a little bit in order to kind of like break that barrier for it to start feeling normal and like attractive. I guess I'm just dreading like that process, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course. But I like to think of uncomfortable as growing. I'm learning something, right? Because when I'm comfortable,
it's true. I do need to reframe.
Yeah. When I'm comfortable, I'm not growing, right? Like I'm comfortable. There's no growth. When I'm uncomfortable, right. I'm like, I'm learning something. So even with could you do that? Could you do yoga to relax and to?
Yeah, I could. I definitely could do.
And like gentle ones, right? Like,
yeah, very gentle. Yes. Very gentle. I think that could be a part of like my evening wind down. I think I've been thinking about like making an evening routine that kind of incorporates some things. I think that would be really helpful for me, because I have, I do like being on my phone at the end of the day, but I just need like a cutoff point of it, or like something that like signals, okay, we're done with this, and we're like switching gears and we're going to start winding down. So maybe that would be like a good way to do it. Like turn the phone off, do like even just like 5-10 minutes of just gentle stretching mm-hmm. for myself, and then maybe go on to, I don't know. I just need something that's like going to power me down a little bit.
Yes.
So I've been thinking about this, but then it's just all thought work. I know it all comes down to that. I just have like a crappy story around it of this is so much work. this sounds like it's going to be hard in the beginning, and like it's just going to be weird and different, and like I have that thought about it, so it's ultimately why I haven't done it.
I love that, you know, right? Again, evidence.
I do know, and then I get mad at myself, because like I'm good at the, like I'm a very aware person, but when it comes to actually like changing my thought about it, I just feel so resistant sometimes.
I understand. I don't know. Yeah, that is so, it's very normal. Like we expect a lot out of ourselves and not others. We can see it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's really good. I'm very happy that you came and got coached, because I think once you start hearing, because I really do think, yes, of course, it's that talk, right? Of how I'm defining relaxing, how I know that I know, but I'm resisting, and how I expect myself to do it when I'm describing it in a certain way. So there's like several steps there, right? Like really look and hear how you're describing it. I always call it worthy work. Like, man, this is worthy work. And it's exciting. Like to me, Allie, like, what if this were the thing? What if you doing this would be the thing that gave you that freedom?
Right.
Isn't that exciting? Like when you think
it is exciting.
Like, wow, it's not work, right? Like, it's almost like when we were teenagers, right? And it's like, oh gosh, learning how to drive. But did we think that way? We thought of the freedom, right? Like, I get to go down the street and, you know, do this and the steering wheel and look cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to like be able to go where I want to go. And mom's not going to know. And I'm thinking of the freedom. Right. And I think,
I guess we're like the one like block that I'm still feeling with that. And it's been like coming up in other areas too. Like I've been in OBS for like a little over a year now. I think I've lost only like, I shouldn't say only, I've lost 5 pounds and I've like kept that off and that's amazing. Like I haven't gained.
Caught yourself.
I should celebrate that. But it's like the constant thought work. Sometimes I just get irritated. I'm just like, why can't my brain just brain? Like, why can't I, like, I don't know. I just get to a point sometimes where it's like, I get irritated by the thought work. I'm like, there's so much, like there's so much stuff bobbing around up here. And I get frustrated with constantly having to like correct myself or like check myself or like, you know, pivot. Yeah. So it's like, I get tired with it. So then I go, not today.
Yeah. Like, and like, you know, the Q&A, the first thing, right, that Corinne talked about is, I'm going to read it. Don't try to solve everything at once.
Yeah.
Work one habit at a time. And I think that is classic what we do to ourselves, right? Like when you look at the closet redo and you're like, oh God, right? But how does it get done? If you want to clear something out, seriously, how does it get done?
Right.
One at a time,
one
right?
At a time. Right.
Take it all out and then you put it back one at a time, right? Yeah. Like, and that's all.
But then it comes, but then I've had it where like, cause I've done that, like in OBS where like I've broken things down one at a time and I've like seen myself get better and I go, ooh, I'll add a little bit and I'll add a, like, I've been through that. But then when I like hit a block, say, and shit starts to crumble a little bit and get a little bit wonky, then I'm like, okay, I can't hop back into the steering wheel with all of those things intact. Then I get angry. Cause I'm like, okay, now do I have to start from fresh with a little bit of this in and a little bit of this in, a little bit of this in? And it frustrates me. Like it frustrates me to constantly like be having to adjust and fix and change course. And like, I don't know, it just gets exhausting sometimes. Like I think the awareness sometimes exhausts me. And I think, and I look at other people and I'm like, is it better to be aware or is it better to be like blissfully just, I don't want to say ignorant, but just like not concerned with like all of this. Sometimes I think I'm just,
I love
overthinking
it.
Everything.
And we're what I want you to notice is that your brain is very normal, but notice again, when you re-listen again, your brain is offering two solutions, right? Like even with the problem is like, I either do this and it won't work or do this. Yeah. You know, and it'll feel
that's awful. So true. That's like, honestly, like it's so true because I've never looked at it that way because I do that. Like even in this sense, I didn't realize that that was what I was doing, but I am giving myself like two shitty options. Like I'm either aware or I just shut my brain off. I can't be like
blissfully unaware, right? Like,
but I guess that's how I've always seen it. Like I've always been like a really emotionally deep person. I've always been aware of my thoughts and feelings. Like I've naturally been drawn to like life coaching and yoga and all of this introspective work. But it's like, sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to think about meditating. I don't want to think about doing the thought work. I don't want to like, I just want to like scroll and eat my food and turn it all off.
Right.
But I haven't found like that middle ground of like, go scroll, turn your brain off, and then maybe do some yoga and crochet and then go the hell to sleep. Like,
right.
I just haven't been able to like, I guess I'm scared that I'll start doing that and then I'll like fuck up and then I'll go back to my old habit. Like,
so
it's
then
that
we don't
fear
just,
too.
Right. And then it's like, so then I just won't even try. I'll fail for first. So then that way I don't go through that process. And it's like, thank you, brain. Thank you, brain, for giving me another shitty option. Door number one or door number two. But yeah, and it's okay, right? Like this is the process of like learning things about yourself and learning like, wow, yeah, my brain really loves that. It loves that little scenario of like door number one, door number two, it's both going to be crap. Yeah, so I'm going to research, and every time I'm going to be onto myself, like there's so much more, you know, options out there. And I do like your plan going forward, right? Like, I am going to show myself that I got other things. Like I have these other options that I can try. I think that's a good idea and a good plan, but always like circle back, right? To like, I'm really going to be onto myself and I'm going to look how I'm thinking about this because I want to have my back, right? And I don't want to present the two options. So you're onto it. You got it. You do.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a good practice, right? Yeah. To tell yourself that, like, okay, I'm onto myself now. We're doing this. So nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I feel like I have some good stuff to work on. So.
Awesome. Very good.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you back down. Here we go. Kathy, are you ready? Let's do it. How are you all doing in the chat? You all having a party without me? Oh, Kathy declined. Deborah? Kathy, are you in the chat? Did you decline for real or no? I'm going to ask Deborah. Why? Zoom? There we go. Don't you like how coaching calls have themes always? I think the theme tonight is being on the alert when our brain likes to give us those black and white options, right? Like this or that. You know, that app or that meme or, you know, if you like this, you'll like that. And it's like, well, no, there's a lot more options out there. There we go. Deborah, did you decline to be panelist too? What is happening? Okay, let's try Kathy. Let's see if we can get one more coaching. Because I love working these things out, right? Like watching our minds, seeing what's happening and figuring it out. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, there we go. Good. I didn't decline. It just was the wrong one.
It's Zoom. It's weird sometimes. How are you?
Good. Great. So I see myself in both the ladies. And unlike Nicola, though, I don't have the awareness to know why I'm doing this. Same situation. I'm not supposed to use the word good. I'm good during the day. And then at night, I just love the feeling of fullness in my stomach. I don't know. It just makes me, and I know, and I'm even at the point now, because I'm doing so much work in this program, that I know that I've had enough food. Like I know this. I know, and there's a voice that's saying, okay, Kathy, you've had enough. You've had enough. And yet I keep doing it.
Why?
Because I think, oh, this is feeling so good. This is feeling so good.
And then?
And I guess a part of me thinks, even though my conscious mind is very aware that it's not a reward, but somehow I'm still stuck in that thinking where food is the reward.
Oh, okay. See, you have inner wisdom. Like, so that makes sense, right? When we talk about like understanding our thoughts and we use the four N's, the first step is notice, right? So you notice like, yeah, I kind of noticed that I'm thinking that food is a reward. Like, this is great. And I, you know, I heard you say, I love the feeling. And it's normal that you would then think like, yeah, that makes sense. If I'm saying that to, if I'm, you know, practicing that thought so that it becomes this true belief of like, yeah, I like all that. So that story is very loud.
But Dina, like even now, okay, so truthfully, I've had too much food today and now my tummy's hurting. So right. Afterwards, I feel guilty. So yet I keep doing it. So I'm like, do I have a mental impairment? Like, no. I don't understand why I would continuously do something that is so not good for me. But yet I fool myself in that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm lying to myself.
Right. And we're now, listening to that story mm-hmm, yeah. in the moment. Yeah. So that's all that's happening, right? There's no impairment, right? Like we see, like I like to think of when we're thinking of a process and almost like plumbing, right? When the plumber comes and he's trying to find the bottleneck, he's not going to like tear up the whole bathroom. He's going to be like, okay, where's the bottleneck? Like, where's the source that I need to unplug, right? To clear the drain. So this is what we're looking at right now. It's like, here's the tube. Before, I have good intention. After, I realize I don't like that. But why in the moment, right? Like, why in the moment do I do this? There's your bottleneck, right? There. It's in okay. the moment. And so the thing is like, oh, okay. That's where I work on. I work on practicing all the things that I will want to do to remind myself of that. So when you were, listen to what you said too, right? Like in the moment, I'm telling myself, I really like the way that this feels. Like I love being full. I think that it's a treat. Like that's what you're saying in the moment. That's what's making the bottleneck, right? Afterwards, I'm thinking, oof, before I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to set intention. So that's all that's happening. Like there's not, you know, you're not broken. There's, you know, but we can see where we can focus our attention. So have you practiced taking that pause?
I have, you know, I try and that voice in my head is just louder that says, like it just sort of just, I don't know. Yeah. It takes over.
Correct. Right. Right. Cause that's louder. And then that's what allows that continuation. So if you were me and you were coaching me and I'm like, Kathy, like that voice is louder in the moment. And I've tried a couple of times to take the pause, but I just, yeah. What would you tell me?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank right now. What would I tell you?
Yeah, Kathy, like I understand before I have really good intention. In the moment, I just hear like, we feel so good. I've been so good. Love this.
Maybe I would tell you, why don't you in that moment, write it out? Is this really true? Am I going to, is this worth it?
Yeah, that's a good strategy, right? Like all we want to do is get the other voice, right? Like if I'm seeing it before and after, but my, you know, in the moment is what I need to work on. Great. This is great news. I know exactly where to target. So, you know, that voice is loud, right? Like, I love the feeling. This is a treat. Now, in your rational mind, is that true?
No.
Right. And so that's the part that we forget, right? Like, that's the only thing that's happening. You're forgetting the whole story, right? Like, we're only telling that part of the story and it's really loud in the moment. That's all, right?
And I'm also telling myself that I'm a failure and that if I haven't figured it out by now, I'm never going to figure it out.
Is that true?
Kind of feels like it, but I know obviously, you know, anything can change. You can be 80 and change.
Right. But yes. And I think that that's probably, if that's the narrative too, again, right? We have the true narrative, right? Like, man, if that's running in the background as truth, and that's what we keep feeding and allowing to grow. I love the phrase, what I practice, I get good at, right? Like what I practice, I get good at. So what am I practicing now, right? So every time that I tell myself a certain narrative, I'm practicing that. I'm practicing telling myself, you're never going to get this. That's all I'm doing when I'm allowing that as truth, right? And that's why I love the four N's, because it gives you that next best thought to just like a little shift, like not a huge shift, like, oh yeah, I'm going to nail this, from I'm never going to get this, right? So the little shift that I can do is probably like showing myself, man, I'm practicing that thought again. You know, like sometimes I get curious with myself, like, why am I practicing that? Why are you practicing that story?
I don't know. Maybe just because I've been doing it just for so long. I know, something just came to me. Maybe it's because I'm punishing myself because I don't have it together yet. Like, I really feel that I should have it together by now. I'm working the program. I'm listening to modules almost every day.
Yeah.
I'm on all these calls. I'm doing everything that I can possibly do.
That's amazing.
So I feel that I should have it together by now.
And what if you just, instead of like adding that on, like I'm doing the work, I'm listening to the modules, I'm learning things every day. That's amazing. What if we were running with that narrative? That muscle would get stronger, right? If I practiced that narrative, like that muscle would get stronger. Because I think you are telling yourself really great things. Like if I were to tell you that, like, you know what I do? I listen to modules every day. Like I do the thought work. What would you think the conclusion of that narrative would be if I were saying that to you?
I would think, just keep doing it. You'll eventually get it.
Yeah. But even like, what would you think that I think about myself if I were telling you this? Like, Kathy, you know what I do? Yeah. What would you think?
You're doing a great job.
Right. And you would think that I think I'm doing a great job, right? But it's like, notice how you end that sentence, right? Like,
I do all this every day. Oh, now I see what you're saying.
Okay. Right? And it's like, wow, no one saw that one coming.
I know, because I just want the end result. Who cares about, okay, that's not true. It's not who cares, but I just want the end result by now.
Why do you want the end result?
Because then I'm going to feel like I finally am a success, that I finally got this monkey off my back, that if I can do this, I can do anything.
How would you feel that? What would you have to think to feel that?
What would I have to think to feel that? Can you help me out?
Yeah, if I'm a confident person and I'm there, right there, and I'm like, oof, I finally did it. I finally got this monkey off my back. I am, what would I say?
Confident?
Yeah. Am I a failure?
No.
And do you think that I would practice that thought miraculously when the scale spits out a number?
What do you mean? I'm not understanding.
Like, you know, you're saying when I get there, this is how I'm going to feel.
Right.
Is it going to, are you going to feel that because like suddenly I got on the scale and it told me a number? Or is it that I practiced that all along the way? Trick question.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, when I see the number of the scale, but now that you said it's a trick question, I see what you're saying.
I will have had to practice that, right? It's not like miraculously one day I'm, you know, whatever the weight is. And then the next day I get on, it's like, oh, I did it. And then suddenly my thought is like, I'm amazing, right? Like, no, that's not how it works. I have to practice that. I have to practice that every day. And if that's the feeling that we want and the goal that we want, we have to practice that today, right?
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's why it's like, again, right? Really worthy work to feel uncomfortable. Like, wow, I noticed that I'm saying this about myself, but I'm going to start shifting. I'm going to start leveling up little by little. Cause right now being really crappy, I'm telling myself that I'm like unworthy, which leads me to have the relief of overeating and telling myself kind of like untruths in the moment. But man, right. If I nail that, like I am worthy of this work. Like I am worthy of this work. That will help me, right? Like that will help me to see that and practice that. Self-love course is an amazing course. I really love that course. It has great journal prompts in there that can help, you know, solidify those little hidden messages that we give to ourselves, that you see the domino effect, right? Like if I had that message, that would be loud. Like I am worthy of this. Like that would give me that relief other than the bottleneck that we have right now. Like, no. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to meet you. And
too.
Yes. And you got this. Like,
are you available for private coaching? I'll look into that. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yes. I would love to coach with you. Yes.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to promote you down to attendee. Thank you so much for raising your hand. I think everybody that gets coached is just, you know, we are warriors here. Thank you for hanging out a little bit longer. We went a little bit over and I really appreciate your time and attention. I think we did some good work here. Understand that mind-body connection, how that works, right? Like how our nervous system is directly tied into like our thinking. And you heard, right? Our Nobia sisters who got coached today, how they discovered, you know, how that works together and how to really get curious. I love everyone that got coached today had that very curious spirit of like, wow, I noticed that I'm thinking this. And sometimes it was like, I don't even believe that, right? And then other times it was like, oh yeah, I can see how me practicing this is leading to that. So I think that's such a superpower that you, if you don't practice it now, you can start practicing. Like get very curious about why am I choosing to think this and how can I shift it just a little better? Thank you so much, Coach Ashley, for being in the chat and for taking care of everyone in the chat and for taking care of me by being there. I appreciate your help. And all everyone in NoBS, thank you so much for tuning in. And this is worthy work. Remind yourself of that. Like, what if this happened? If I were able to do this, man, how would that change my life? And that is so exciting when you think about it. So keep up the good job and we'll see you. Bye. Have a good night.